Well, here we are, beginning another new year with another new church year, beginning with Advent again, hardly the first Advent for anyone here. And you sort of wonder, what do we have to say about Advent that hasn't been said so many times before? And I come back to that whole thing that just because something's been said before doesn't mean you can't say it again. I'm quite happy to hear Heather say she loves me. Once wasn't enough for me. I don't know what enough would be. Well, we may not be talking about something quite as personal, perhaps, as that. We are talking about something just as important. And I think I've mentioned at least a time or two that I'm not sure who it was who put together Advent in the sequence we have, but beginning it with hope, I think, makes so much sense. And this first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope, is one that can set the tone for the coming church year. Probably won't think of it every Sunday, but starting with hope is so much better than maybe anything else. But it struck me as I was looking at our Matthew reading that you sort of wonder, why would we start with hope and then have this reading here? Because when we were listening to it, the word hope doesn't really come up much, but the word watch does. I sort of wonder, why isn't the first Sunday of Advent called Watch Sunday? That would make sense. Look forward to what's coming ahead. But then I looked at the passage a little bit more closely and sort of put myself into this as if I was encountering it perhaps for the first time, or when I was encountering it some other times. And keeping watch in this particular passage could have quite a level of uncertainty to it. And therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That's how verse 42 reads in the New International Version. And so there's a sense of, well, what am I waiting for then? Or how do you keep watch for something when you have no idea when it's going to come? Sort of like being on sentry duty forever, which I think would be very tiring. You'd always be looking around. And if you come at this passage from a particular perspective, and I'm quite certain I've spoken of this before, this is actually kind of a terrifying passage. And if you were of a certain age, you were probably exposed to a well-meaning but poorly thought-out movie called The Thief in the Night, which was based on this. It was a rapture movie, and it was reasonably well acted and well directed and all that, and you had people disappearing and all that. And then at the end, this was somehow supposed to favorably sort of change your view of what it might mean to be saved, to move into this relationship with God through Jesus. What it was terrifying. And I'm sure I've mentioned this too. There's a Facebook page. It's primarily there for amusement, although some serious discussion does happen on it, called I Survived the Thief in the Night. And there's a whole bunch of us who grew up about that time who were exposed to this movie, not well followed up, and were just frightened for years. Like some people, there's at least a couple of people on there, and I think they're quite serious, said that it turned them off church entirely. And it's because it's the misapplication of this part of Scripture. It's here. I mean, we have to pay attention to this. We have to keep watch. Jesus said that. He said, keep watch because you don't know the time. But he's not saying that keep watch because something terrible might happen. He's not saying keep watch because, who knows. He's saying keep watch because what's coming is wonderful. And we look at it in the context of the flood and the catastrophe there, and we can tend to look at sort of all of that instead of looking at what are we actually waiting for. We're waiting for Jesus. And we're waiting in hope. We're hoping that he'll come, but not in the sense that we hope is sometimes used. Well, like last weekend at the Grey Cup. People on both sides of this hoped their team would win. And it was, you know, until the game is actually over, you don't know. I mean, it was pretty clear before the final whistle last Grey Cup. But it's not always that way. Sometimes you have to wait till it's entirely over to know for sure. And you hope you win. That's not the kind of hope we're dealing with here. Advent doesn't begin with us hoping that this might happen, but then again, it might not. The hope we have here is hope in a certainty. And you might think, well, what, you don't need to hope for a certainty. You know, I don't hope that gravity continues today. I don't hope that the highway won't suddenly disappear. Yeah, I don't hope that the highway will stay there. There's not a question there. That's a certainty. So if we don't hope for that, why would we hope for this other certainty? Well, because hope in something that is almost random is one thing. Hope in something that is solidly part of the world in which we live is something else. Hope in something that hasn't happened yet, but will happen, is something altogether different. We hope that our children will be born. And we realize there's some uncertainty there. But it's not the same kind of uncertainty that a football game is. We look forward to things and we say, in the language of hope. Hope is absolutely critical to our well-being as human beings. It's almost impossible to overstate how important it is that we live in hope, that we have hope. Hope looks to the future with optimism. It looks to the future and says the future will have good things in it. We might not know what they are. We might not know what they look like. But it's looking forward and saying that what comes towards us in this stream of time will be worth it, even if we don't really know what it's like. Hope is that driving force that says we keep going because things are going to be better. It's not that they're horrible now necessarily, but they're going to be better. They're going to be good. If we don't have that kind of hope, if we are hopeless in the true sense of that, if we're in despair, nothing has any point. There's no reason to get up in the morning if you don't have hope. Despair takes the flavor, the light, the color out of your life. People in serious depression are in despair. It's a terrible place to be. When you have nothing to look forward to, there's nothing. But the hope that we have is guaranteed in a way that some of our other hopes aren't. We can say we hope that the sun rises tomorrow, but we're usually just saying it to make a point or we're being funny. You know, there's that kind of certainty. The hope that we're talking about here is the sure knowledge that Jesus is going to come. And we celebrate this in Advent because we look to his first coming when he came as a baby, when he came to teach us that it is possible to follow God in human form. He came that we might know for certain that we have an advocate at the right hand of God who knows everything we've gone through. And that was his first coming. But we also have hope for his second coming. And there's all kinds of possibilities for his second coming. They've got long names which are a combination of Greek and dog Latin, and we could talk about those forever. We could get into the details of what it's going to look like. And I just don't know that that's the best use of our time. It seems fairly clear that God is moving history in a particular direction, and he's going to take care of what it looks like. What we know is he's coming back. Jesus has said that you don't know the time. Even I don't know the time. Jesus doesn't know the time. when he was talking to his disciples. But he said, I'm going to come back for you in a way that's unmistakably me. And that gives you hope. Hope is one of those things that, it's a very personal thing in the sense that it's very internal to us. And the hope that we have that keeps us going frequently doesn't make itself evident to the people around us or how we're hoping. You will often run across people who say, well, you know, whoever it is died before this happened or that happened. So what was the point? So, well, no, the point isn't necessarily that you see everything you hope for. I mean, how many of you hope that your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren and their children will have satisfying lives? Well, we all hope for that. None of us expect to see all of our descendants. It's not possible. Does that mean that hope is futile or silly? Of course not. It's one of those things that keeps us going. It keeps us hopefully engaged in trying to raise our children as long as they're at home in ways that are useful, so that will happen. The physicist who said that there's a particle out there that it helps explain a lot of things hoped that one day it would be found. And it was eventually. The Higgs boson was found. That big collider they've got in Switzerland did whatever colliders do, and they said, aha, there it is. We have evidence of its existence for 1/1,000,000,000 of a second or whatever it was. He had hope through all that, but he didn't have the hope in the sense that he hoped his team would win. He knew it was there. And when the proof came, he was very happy for the proof. But it wasn't suddenly like he said, oh, thank goodness, I've been fooling you before. You know, I kind of guessed it was there. No, that wasn't the kind of hope he had. He knew it was there. He just hadn't seen it yet. We know Jesus is going to return in the same way that his first disciples did, and all believers in between. We know he's coming back, even if we haven't seen it, even if we never see it. The hope that Jesus is returning is grounded in the reality of our relationship and our experience with God. It's grounded in what Scripture says. It's grounded in all of those things that have happened through church history, that have happened through history, that are unexplainable except through the fundamental reality of God at work in His people, in His world. We hope not in some kind of a fantasy way. We hope in a way that's grounded in things that matter. Jesus' return isn't necessarily what gets you up every morning. You don't, when you're lying in bed thinking I could sleep all day, that may or may not be what gets you up in the morning. But it's part of what gives you hope. It's part of what reminds us that we're not alone here, that we haven't been left just to fend for ourselves. Through Advent, we're going to talk a lot about waiting because that's what Advent is. It's waiting and preparing. Well, if you don't hope for someone to come, you don't wait for them, because why would you? I don't wait for my mother or father to come through the door. They can't. They're dead. That's not, waiting for them wouldn't be hope. It would be, well, might be a sign of mental illness. We wait and we prepare for what will happen. And Advent reminds us that the hope we have isn't a vain hope. It's not a frivolous hope. It's a hope that's grounded in certainty. It's a hope that is guaranteed, if you will, through those things I mentioned. Our own experience, the witness of Scripture, the witness of history. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit in ways that we know are unmistakably divine, and remind us that this hope isn't something that just we hope happens. One of the problems with preaching about hope is that you have to keep using the same word, and it's got all these nuances, but I think you know what I mean, that we're not waiting just in case something happens. We're waiting for what we know will happen. Will it happen in our lifetime? I don't know. Does that change my hope? No. It didn't change my parents' hope. It didn't change my mother's parents' hope. It didn't change all those generations. They didn't die in failure. They died in hope, knowing it was coming. In Advent, we look forward to the coming of Jesus. First in the celebration of his physical birth, and then in his return. But in the same way that we don't give up on Christmas today because it's not here, we don't give up on his return because he's not here either. We look forward in hope. We look forward in optimism. We look forward in the sure knowledge that what God has promised, God will do. The ground of our hope is him. It's not just our best wishes. As we begin a new church year in hope, it's a reminder that as believing people, we live in hope every day. Amen. Let us pray.